morning. Welcome to God's beautiful sanctuary, and so glad that so many of you could be here to worship with us outside. So as the sun shifts and changes, if it gets warm, please just get up and move. We've got all this lawn, parking lot, wherever you'd like to go. You are welcome to do so. So we're glad that you're here. All of the liturgy and music is in your bulletin, and if you don't have one, just give a wave a hand and usher will bring one around to you. Only quick announcement I have today is a reminder that a congregational meeting will follow immediately following worship. So don't even get up. We'll do it here. It'll take a few moments, and then we'll do coffee and punch. We will dismiss children and anyone else who would like to take part in Service Palooza. I imagine Katie's got more to say about that.
When we're done with the service here, kids and non-members, go ahead, grab your punch, and come on inside. We're doing Service Palooza today for our family fun day, so there'll be lots of crafts to do, lots of things to pack up and give to swim, and hygiene kits to make. So if you're artsy or not artsy, we have something for everyone. And then voting members, you can come join us afterwards.
Any other announcements this morning? Friends, and let us worship God. Stand, you can sit, you can roll around on the floor, whatever you would like to do. But let us worship God together responsively using the call to worship printed in your bulletin. O Lord my God, you are very great and powerful. You created with wisdom at your side, made earth overflow with your wonderful creations. Oh, look, the deep, wide sea brimming with fish, ships. Plow those waters, your pet dragon romps in them. What a wildly wonderful and weird world, God.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of such great imagination, we confess all too often we take ourselves too seriously. We fail to envision with you the endless possibilities you have for creation. We insist if we cannot prove something as fact, it must not be true. We long to be good, uptight people, but fail to see the joy of your unpredictability and humor. Have mercy on us and continue to surprise us with your grace and love. Let us confess silently. Despite knowing our sin, God chooses to forgive us. Acknowledging lack of creativity, God inspires us. Seeing our hopelessness, God surprises us. This is the good news. God loves us. God formed nothingness into creation. God created new life from death. With God, all things are possible. Amen. And now, enjoying the time that we have together and celebrating God's love, let us share the peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. The first reading of the word today comes from Psalm 74, verses 12 to 17. Listen now for God's word. Yet God, my King, is from of old, working salvation in the earth. You divided the sea by your might. You broke the heads of the dragons in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You cut openings for springs and torrents. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day, yours also the night. You established the luminaries and the sun. You have fixed all the bounds of the earth. You made summer and winter. This is God's word here for us today.
So the story I am about to read for you all this morning is one that you have heard before, but you've probably heard it told a little bit differently. So let's listen for God's word shared with God's people this day. From the book of Revelation. A great portent or hole appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in pain, in agony of giving birth. And then another hole opened up in the heavens, and a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman who was about to have her baby so that he might devour the child as soon as it was born. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was snatched away and taken to God, to God's throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, so that there she can be nourished for 1,260 days. And then a war broke out in heaven. All the angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But they were defeated. And there was no longer any place for the angels in heaven. And that great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil or Satan, the deceivers of the whole world. They were thrown down to earth, and the angels were thrown down with them. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, "Now have come the salvation and power and the kingdom of God, the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our comrades has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They do not cling to life even in the face of death. Rejoice then, you heavens, and those who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in the form of a dragon with great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." Did the story ring any bells for you? Recognize it at all? I mean, I get that it's August and the summer heat throws you off a little bit. So maybe if we closed our eyes and pretended for a moment, the snow is falling, I know, gently around us. And hear the words again, maybe in the more familiar, traditional way. You ready? So in those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that had taken place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Your eyes are closed, the snow, right? You're picturing it. And all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from Nazareth into Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was expecting a child. and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in the bands of cloth, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. More familiar. The details are there. I would read the Revelation story again, but it's a little long. You can go home and read it too. But those familiar elements, Jesus' mother giving birth to him, there's this flight into the wilderness. There are angels who have a central role. An announcement is made from heaven. Yeah, it's clear, though, that even with these familiar elements described, there are some differences, some unusual details that come up in this story. Jesus' mother is clothed with the sun and the moon and the stars, and then she flees out into the wilderness alone, and neither Joseph nor Jesus are there when they go to Egypt. And then the angels are waging a war, not singing praises before the shepherds. The announcement from heaven is one of woe to all the earth, not peace and goodwill. So what about the rest of the account of Jesus' birth in Revelation? See, neither Luke nor Matthew reports any sighting of a ferocious dragon being present in the manger. They do not say that the infant was snatched away to God's throne, and they do not describe how the dragon pursues Mary until God gives her eagle's wings, nor how the earth collaborated with God to foil the dragon in his second attack on Mary a few verses later. And they don't tell of the dragon's subsequent war on Mary's children. It could be the Christmas story that we've never heard before. Some biblical authors get a little uncomfortable, arguing that maybe John, the author who is writing from prison on the island of Patmos, wasn't really trying to rewrite the Christmas story. But come on! It's a dragon! Our summer worship series has been all about those lesser-known characters of the Bible. And I'm going to guess that most of you all didn't even know there were dragons in the Bible. Yes, not just one, but multiple references. Katie read one of them from the book of Psalms. But there's also this great sea dragon in Ezekiel in the retelling of the Exodus story. And then in Isaiah and Job, the dragon has a name. Leviathan. So perfect. So evil. Leviathan. Job wonders if God has the power to conquer Leviathan with a fish hook or tie him up with a rope. Does God have the power to tame Leviathan and even put him on a leash like a little pet? A back lined with shields and an underbelly sharp like broken pottery, Leviathan's eyes and nostrils flash light, and from his mouth sparks of fire leap forth. Oh, so the dragon in Revelation must be Leviathan's cousin, red with 7 heads, 10 horns on each head, and a tail so large that it sweeps a third of the stars out of the sky and throws them down to earth. So, when you all set up your Christmas nativity set this coming December, where are you going to put the dragon? Next to Joseph or one of the shepherds? I know, it's a tough choice. But maybe even more difficult are all the questions we have surrounding what is this dragon all about in the Bible. If you didn't know that there is a dragon in the Bible, it might have something to do with, because Presbyterians and other Christians get a little uncomfortable with the book of Revelation. There are a lot of folks who take the book pretty literally and believe the end of the world will happen just as the book says. And then, of course, there's the collection of fiction that has been written, and it's all based loosely on Revelation. Unfortunately, there's been a little confusion about whether or not it's fact or fiction. Well, that's another conversation for another day. But we do have our questions, and we can sit with those questions and our confusion, and we can get frustrated and just stop reading, or we can use our imaginations. I agree with one of the 20th century's greatest theologians. I take the Bible too seriously to read it literally. Because here's the thing. If we ignore all of the stories because we're concerned about literal interpretation and what is fact and what is fiction, what is story, what really happened, and we ignore it, we miss out on the dragon. Dragons have been used for centuries as a symbol of power and strength. Though not always evil. See, in Chinese lore, dragons were these benevolent creatures whose power brought rain and good luck. Greek mythology, we're a little bit more familiar with, but even still there, dragons are known to guard valuable entranceways and people and goods. We also know dragons, their destruction, their death. And in hearing the story this morning, I bet you could and did use your imagination to picture the dragon from Revelation. Probably not Puff the Magic Dragon, though I did see if we could sing that song today. And probably not Stuffy the Blue Dragon from Doc McStuffins, if you happen to watch a lot of that TV show. Maybe a little bit more along the line of Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon, but he's not even scary enough. So one of the first dragons I encountered that terrified me as a child, and I always had to fast forward on the VCR through the part where Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty turns into that dragon, or Jabberwocky in Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, Tolkien's Dragons of Middle Earth in Lord of the Rings, and most recently, if you're old enough and into it, on Game of Thrones on HBO, the offspring of the mother of dragons, their fierceness displayed. We can let our imaginations run wild with what this dragon might look like. But it doesn't necessarily help us place the dragon in the manger, ready to eat baby Jesus. And yet, if on Christmas Eve we were to continue to keep reading the scripture passage from Matthew that we most often skip over in order to keep singing Christmas carols, we know evil and destruction and death lurked in the form of Herod and his army. Some may call such evil the devil. Others will name it a dragon, and still others will call it sin. There are forces within ourselves and throughout the world seeking to destroy God's will for love all around. So yes, in the world, in the manger, and inside each of us. But the author of Revelation and Psalms and Job and Isaiah invite us to imagine then is how big this dragon is, how powerful this dragon is, how scary the dragon is. And to know that God's love is still bigger than the meanest, most ferocious dragon we could ever imagine. And through the love of God revealed in a stable in Bethlehem, on the cross and in the world today, the dragon will still be defeated. Thanks be to God. Amen.
today. As you may notice, we don't have a whole lot of aisles or microphones. And so for the prayers of the people, I'm going to be praying up here and have you all pray with me. But if there's a special concern that you'd like to share or something you want to celebrate, just come up to us after the service. We're right here. We'll be hanging out there. Plenty of time to talk and share. And please remember and keep in your prayers Joanne Vander, who's at Unity right now, and also Dick Henderson, who's recovering from a fall at Strong. Let us pray. Holy God, your grace is amazing beyond comprehension, surrounding and filling all creation with your inspired, wonderful works. We give you thanks for your unbounded love, for glimpses of your kingdom, for faith lived and visible and unseen, and for the hope that will not let us go. Where weeping lingers or grief overwhelms, where hate is on display, give us the courage to reach out a hand. Comfort your children and give strength to those who are recovering from illnesses. Where we have tried to pull away, ignoring our part or afraid of your story, stand firm in your call and your promise. Give us the courage to live your truth so that all may have life. O Christ, the Master Carpenter, use your tools well in the workshop of your world. Build us into your household and fill the house with your spirit. Hold us together and never let us go. Give us your heart and break us open to tear down dividing walls and love one another as you love us. Ground us in your world and your love, and then build us up into your kingdom with room for all. Move us by your spirit to reach out beyond our comfort and our understanding into this amazing work of your hope and promise. We pray in the name of the one whose empty hands stretch out to all creation, creating one humanity fit for your kingdom. Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
this Thursday, some of our young adults will travel down to Stony Point, New York to take part in a food justice work project. Not everyone going on the trip could be here today, but if you're here, please come forward somewhere when your name is read. Jason Taylor, Philip Steert, David Keeling, Katie Steinmiller. Participants, on this trip you will meet new people and hear about their lives. Worship together and find new ways to work for God's justice. Will you listen and share with an open mind, ready to hear God's word on our journey? If so, please say, I will. Next weekend we'll work hard on farms near Stony Point, get dirty in the fields, make a mess cooking in the kitchens, and share what we harvest with the people around us. Will you be faithful, strong, patient, and energetic? If so, say, I will. As a congregation, you're the one sending us out into the world to serve as part of our church life. Will you support our group with prayer during the week and ask about our experiences when we return? If so, please say, we will. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that your children are hungry, and we are excited to feed them. Help us to be your hands and feet on this journey, sharing your love with the people around us as we work together. Bless all of the offerings we give to you, our time, our money, and our talents. In your name we pray. Amen.
So God can use us, and we'll worship anywhere, as evident from our coming out into God's creation, to any time in your daily lives. May God's name be praised, and as you go forth from this place, indeed, praise the power, the beauty, the majesty of God's might that is indeed bigger than dragons. And we give thanks for the grace of Jesus Christ and for the courage of the Holy Spirit. Keep doing it again and again each day. Alleluia. Amen. So a little bit of music's going to play, and at that time, families and children are welcome to make their way this way into Fellowship Hall for Service Palooza, and everyone else who are members of the congregation, if you would just take a seat, we'll hold our brief congregational meeting, and then we'll enjoy fellowship together.